this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers. Welcome to episode 67. This week we have an interview with Emily Richter, who is known online as the OCD Mama. So that probably gives you all the information you need to know heading into the interview. I am pre-recording this intro because when this episode drops, I'll be in New York with my sister. We are going to New York. I'm recording this a week in advance. We're going to New York from Friday through Monday. We're going to visit with our grandma who lives in Queens and stay though in a hotel in Manhattan. So we'll get, who knows how much we'll fit in, but I'm just really like, I'm excited for a plane ride without kids. I love my children. I'm excited for this trip. I've been so excited ever since we booked our tickets, like, I don't know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago. I've been really excited, but I also already miss my kids. Does that make sense? I haven't even left on the trip yet. It's Tuesday as I record this. I don't leave until Friday, and yet I already miss them. And I'm already excited to be back, but I'm also really excited to be gone for 4 days. I'm excited to miss them because I haven't been away for a night since January 2017. So like, way over a year. And I think I'm ready for this. Like, I know I'm ready. For this nice vacation. I'm excited to sit on an airplane with my laptop and a few books and no diapers, no sippy cups. If anyone spills something on me, it won't be me who spilled it. It'd probably be me that spilled it, but it will not have been a toddler or a five-year-old. All the stains on my clothes I get to take full responsibility for. I only have to worry about, it's supposed to rain, so I only have to worry about rain boots for one person, umbrella for one person. It's just going to be a nice lightening of the mental load. But I'm sure I will get back and just be so excited to dive back into motherhood with them. I adore them. But it's good to miss people and then come back to them. And so, very ready for this. And Nathan is, if you've ever seen the movie Mr. Mom, it's one of his favorites. And Michael Keaton plays the character Jack Butler. And so we're calling this like the Jack Butler weekend, where he gets to like, because whenever Nathan's doing something with Pippa and I do it differently from the way Nathan does it. So like if Nathan's driving Pippa to preschool and he drives a different way, she says, "This is not the way that mommy drives to preschool." And Nathan will say, "This is the Jack Butler way to preschool." And if, this is the Jack Butler way to make a peanut butter sandwich. So this is going to be the Jack Butler parenting weekend, because everything for 4 days is going to be the Jack Butler way. And we have the babysitter helping. It's not like, and my parents are going to come by and visit and help. So it's not like Nathan is stranded. It'll be all hands on deck. So I'm sure maybe I'll have no stories to tell when I get back. I feel like I'll have some stories, but maybe it'll just be like, my story will be like, vacations are awesome. Everyone needs to take a vacation. I don't know. Who knows? That's the exciting part. It's an adventure. So turning it over now to Emily and her adventures. Emily was diagnosed with OCD as a child and thought everything was under control on that front, and then had a baby. And, as we'll see, the shit hits the fan with the baby. So turning it over to Emily now, and I'll see you on the other side. Hi, Emily. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I know a little bit about your story, including that you were diagnosed with OCD when you were a child. And then correct. That all just kicked up and, was just a new adventure when you had your first child. But right. Where would be the boat? What place do you think would make the most sense to start your story?
Well, definitely, back when I was a child and was originally diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder, early on I was pretty much used medication as my way of coping, which worked really well. I will say, the severity of my OCD wasn't that great. So while it was certainly a struggle in some ways, I was able to very easily manage it with medication. And, you have your good days and bad days, right? But But overall, I always felt like it was fairly under control. And as I got older, around high school, you know, I kind of started thinking, okay, well, am I gonna take medication for the rest of my life? Is this just, you know, who I am, or is this something I can deal with in another way? So I decided to wean off my medication, and it went surprisingly well. And I went medication free for, I mean, years and years and years, really until I hit my postpartum issues. But I mean, for the most part, I always felt like that had been under control. And so when I got pregnant, it really wasn't forefront in my mind that I had an anxiety disorder, because it was just something that I had sort of learned in my own way to cope with. And it wasn't something that I had been thinking about. You know, it was my first baby, and we were so excited for, you know, all of those things that come along with it. We were planning the nursery, we were doing our registry. I mean, all those things first time parents do, right? And it just wasn't something that really crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a little bit of a miss too, maybe on the part of my doctor. I know obviously OCD is always listed in my medical history, and in retrospect, I think it should have been a topic that we had talked about from day one. You know, hey, you're at risk for postpartum depression and anxiety and OCD and all of these other things. And, you know, if I had known more, if I had known better, I think there would have been a lot of things I could have done, and it would have come out very differently. But like I said, it just wasn't forefront in my mind. So we just kind of went through, you know, the pregnancy, and everything went well, and, you know, birth, everything went well. And we brought our little boy home, and, you know, we were just doing the new parent thing, and, you know, exhaustion and feeding and all of those, mm-hmm. all of those crazy things that come along with it. And, it really, I'd say, took me by surprise. It took me a really long time to admit that that's what was wrong. Because at first, like, oh, I'm just tired. And then, you know, they have these cutesy little terms like the baby blues. So, okay, yeah, it's normal for me to feel a little sad, or, you know, these feelings are normal. And I just don't think there was enough awareness, at least for me, around, you know, when I started crossing that line between normal and postpartum depression.
Right. So what did it look like for, so it's hard to, like, I know what I'm trying to ask, like, how it went from,
yeah.
You know, it's so hard to pin these things down with words. Like,
when, right.
Like, at what point did it occur, did you realize this has gone beyond normal and this is something that needs to be addressed?
I think for me, it was a good few months into, you know, the postpartum period. I think when it got to the point that I felt like I couldn't care for my own son, mm-hmm. that it started to really hit me that, okay, this isn't normal. You know, every time he would cry, I would cry. And I felt like I was getting to the point where I couldn't handle it anymore. And, you know, more often than not, I was having to step away and tell my husband that he had to go in and deal with it, because I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just, you know, collapse to the floor sobbing, you know, I can't do this. I can't do this, you know, questioning, should I have even become a mother, you know, and I think some of those things, again, can, you know, the overwhelm can be normal early on, but, you know, now we're a few months in and I still feel this way, and I was still really, really struggling with being a new mom. And when I would look at my son, it was like I started to really realize that I think I felt more resentment towards him sometimes than I did love. And that was really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, why don't I feel, you know, new moms always talk about all the love and, you know, they're just enamored with their new babies. And, you know, obviously when people ask you, oh, how are you doing? Don't you just love being a mom? And, you know, you smile and you say, yeah, because that's, you know, that's what they want to hear, right?
Right.
Nobody wants to hear like, hey, I hate this. This really actually kind of sucks. So I think it took me a while to really be honest with myself to say, hey, I'm not actually loving this. And I think that was sort of the turning point where I was like, okay, I need to fix this. You know, I need to really do something about this. And that's, you know, when I actually, you know, went to my doctor and said, I think I have postpartum depression. You know, I went online and I took well online quizzes and, you know, even after kind of self-diagnosing from Google, it still took me a few weeks to actually call and make an appointment because it's just, it's scary. It's a hard thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that really once I got to that point of just, you know, not realizing that I wasn't as bonded with my son as I should be a few months in, that I really kind of clicked for me, like, hey, something's wrong.
So I know those first few months are like such, oh my God, I look back and it's just such a murky blur. But
oh yeah.
Are there any other symptoms from those first few months? Like you talked about resentment and crying and feeling overwhelmed, like you couldn't do it. Is there anything else that jumps to mind? Like, you know, when you say OCD, people of course go to the, and I had the obsessive compulsive disorder with Pippa, and I went to the classic hand washing and checking doors. What did it look like for you?
So,
and I guess I'm just, you know, assuming.
Even as a child, my OCD was what I'd say more mental, less physical. So a lot of anxious thoughts, especially, when my son was young, you know, I had a lot of anxiety and obsessive thoughts around breastfeeding. That became a huge trigger for me. Every time he would make a noise, I would just, my heart would start to race. Oh my gosh, he's going to wake up. He's going to want to eat again. And our breastfeeding relationship was sort of rocky at best. So it was just, you know, you're the only one that can feed him. So I would, you know, just get in this sort of anxious state with my, you know, my heart racing and unable to sleep. They say, you know, sleep when the baby sleeps, right? So that's a great thought in theory. And even, you know, in the middle of the night, if he did sleep for a good stretch of time, I wouldn't be able to sleep. And I laid awake a lot of the time just hearing every noise he made on the monitor. You know, is he going to wake up? Is he going to want to eat? Am I going to be able to soothe him if, you know, if it's not hunger and he's just crying, am I even going to be able to soothe him? So I had a lot of those sort of anxious thoughts, especially at nighttime. Those were usually the worst times. And then some of the anxious thoughts even, you know, went into a little bit scarier thoughts, like driving in the car. It was like, oh my gosh, well, what happens if, what if I get into a car accident? For me, it didn't get to the point of necessarily being debilitating. You know, I know some women, it gets so severe that, you know, the fear of leaving the house just, you know, keeps them inside. And it really, it just got my anxiety really kind of ramped up. And I had a lot of thoughts around, you know, well, what if I did something and I killed my son? And it wasn't like I had any sort of desire to hurt my son. But when you think about like postpartum psychosis and people get to the point of harming themselves or their children, and it was like these thoughts would stick in my head, like, what if I did that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if I actually went so far as to do something like that? And again, it wasn't something I felt any sort of desire to do. And the thought of it scared the hell out of me. But it was, that's not really a normal thought to have, especially a reoccurring thought. So a lot of my OCD and anxiety sort of manifested in those types of ways. Really just a lot of thoughts, scary thoughts, scary scenes playing out in my mind of something horrible happening to myself or my baby. And I, having OCD, I've always sort of had some, I think what they classify them as are inappropriate thoughts. So I've always sort of had that in the background of my life, but I've kind of just learned to deal with them. But then again, with a baby, it was just a whole new world, and all of this stuff came just flooding back full force. And it was just difficult to even, you know, be alone with him because I was afraid, what if something happened?
Right. Sorry, I'm writing notes because you're saying so many good things. Not,
no worries.
You know, not good like you want this to happen, but it's like the more,
right.
Like everyone articulates it a little differently and makes me realize like something about my own experience or just something like about the general experience.
Yeah, and there's that, gosh, there's that campaign online and I forget who it's under, but the Speak the Truth, I think it's called. And there's sort of an anonymous website and people submit like their thoughts around postpartum depression, like things that they were thinking. And I remember reading through that list one day and just being able to, like, all of them resonated with me. And it was like, wow, there's a lot of people out here who have experienced the exact same thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
And have thought these exact things, like things that you're afraid to say out loud because you're like, oh my gosh, somebody is going to like admit me to an institution or they're going to take my child away. Like that was a huge fear of mine, was if I tell people like what I'm actually thinking, like what's going on in my mind, they're gonna take my kid away from me.
So you get to about a few months postpartum and you finally, mm-hmm. You finally decide to call your doctor. What happens
right.
then?
So I went to my primary care doctor. I went in, I basically just burst into tears, and I said, I think I have postpartum depression. You know, she was wonderful. She has kids of her own, so she kind of, you know, we had that to relate about. And she was very warm and comforting and, you know, just kind of said, okay, well, let's, you know, talk to me about what you've been experiencing. And I kind of talked through a lot of my anxieties and things like that. We decided on medication. And it was exactly what I needed in that moment to start feeling more like myself again. So I actually went on Paxil. And we checked in with the doctor every few weeks at first. I would go back and, you know, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Do you seem to be feeling any better? And it was a little bit obviously slow progress at first. Some of those things take some time to really, really kick in. And actually the story that I kind of share on my blog is really the first day that I actually felt like I could truly say that I loved my son. And that was, you know, a few weeks after I had gone on medication. And I had the day off from work. School was closed for an in-service day. And being alone with my son for a whole day would have been very anxiety-inducing for me. You know, before I had been diagnosed, being home with my son, I was, you know, constantly checking with my husband, when are you going to be home? I wanted to know exactly when he'd be home because I needed that time in my mind to, you know, look forward to, so to speak, to know that he would be there as backup. So this particular day, after I had been on medication for a few weeks, I felt oddly calm that morning about it. Like, you know, I got this. It's going to be a good day. And it was a good day. I mean, I had a great time with my son and just enjoying being together. So, you know, I work full time. So being, you know, getting a full day with him like that is always nice. And by the end of the day, I was just like, that went well. That was good. I didn't have any, you know, it didn't hit me till the end of the day, but I realized, you know, I didn't have any, you know, anxiety attacks today. I didn't, you know, have any real fears today that came and poked their way through. So I was able to look at him at the end of that day, and I was like, you know what? I really, really love you. I really love you. And like I said, I mean, the bonding part of the depression and anxiety and OCD was really the hardest for me. So that was like a huge moment for me where I was just like, okay, like, I feel like I finally bonded with you. Something that I felt like I had been missing. So that was sort of my, I guess, road to, you know, getting medication. And that, like I said, that was really the most helpful part for me. After I'd been on medication for a while, I decided that I wanted a little bit of backup as well. So I started seeing a therapist to just, you know, talk through some of these things, especially as, you know, my husband and I start talking about more children. There's obviously this looming cloud of postpartum depression that, you know, could very likely come back again. And so this time around, you know, I really want to arm myself with, you know, everything I can so that I can have the best experience possible without letting, you know, postpartum depression or OCD or anxiety overtake those first few months the way it did with my son, because I really feel like I missed out on a lot of, you know, his early days and weeks and months because I was, you know, I wasn't enjoying him. I was, you know, suffering my own battle, and I wasn't able to be there for him in the way I had wanted to be. So, you know, the mixture of medication and therapy has been wonderful, in, you know, getting me back to feeling really like myself, and less like this crazy, tired, anxious, depressed mom that, you know, was, you know, I look at myself and I'm like, this isn't me, this isn't who I am. So that was really key for me, the combination of both of those to getting back to myself. So I kind of talked away from your question. I tried to rein myself back in.
No, it's okay. I love tangents. So how old is your son now?
He just turned 2 in March.
And when did you feel, you know, I always like to ask, like, when did you feel like yourself again? But that just feels like a trick question because,
yeah,
I mean, you're a mom now. So, you know, who you are isn't, it's like a whole new person.
Right.
But
so my son was born in late March. And I'd say it was probably around September that year that I got on medication. It was sometime in October that, you know, I really started feeling that bond with him. It was probably at least, you know, November or December. I mean, I'd say almost a full year, like pushing into his first birthday, that I really started to feel like me again. And had some sense of kind of normalcy, if you will. However normal having a toddler can be, right?
Right. Yeah, it's a whole new normal. So what are you doing these days? Are you still taking medication?
So I've weaned off the Paxil, sort of in preparation for hopefully a second child. And I've continued going to therapy in the meantime, to help manage any sort of anxieties and thoughts that have been occurring, which has been very helpful to sort of maintain my levelness, if you will. So it's been going well. You know, I think my therapist and I are still working a lot on, you know, exactly the best ways for me to cope. Mm-hmm. So we've been trying lots of different things and just kind of seeing what works and what doesn't and going from there.
Yeah. It really is an adventure trying to figure and sort through all this.
Absolutely. And I mean, again, we have one son and we'd like to have more kids. So I know it's not an adventure that's, you know, ending anytime soon, but it's, you know, one we're more prepared for the next time around, I think.
Mm-hmm. And the second time could be, like, for you, I know so many moms, including myself, where you have the second or the third, and you've prepared yourself, and it's just such like a, you know, like just like a renewing experience just to get to do it the way that you thought you were going to do it.
Yes, absolutely. Because I mean, like I said earlier, I feel like I missed out a lot on the beginning parts of my son's life, and I have a lot of, you know, regrets about not getting help sooner, or, you know, again, I had a history of OCD, and I beat myself up a little bit sometimes, like, oh, you should have known, you know, you should have talked to your doctor more about it, you should have done this, you should have done that, and I mean, at the end of the day, none of those thoughts are helpful, so just trying to kind of put the past in the past, and this is where I am now, and I'm feeling better, and I'm doing well, so kind of, you know, looking towards the future, okay, well, what can I do next time to, like you said, sort of have the experience that I had expected to have with my son, sort of redemption, if you will.
So what are you, redemption, that's the word I was looking for. So what are you trying to do? Like, what are you trying to put in place for child two? Like I did a checklist of, like, all the things that I needed to do. Are there any things that you have, like, on a mental checklist?
Not so much a mental checklist, but, you know, I talk extensively, with my therapist about, you know, what were my biggest triggers with the first one, and, you know, what can I do the second time around when those incidents occur, and, you know, a lot of my triggers were things that, you know, kids just do, right? They mm-hmm. sleep, they eat, they cry, I mean, all of those things, and so that's kind of what we've been working on. How do I deal with those things so that I can sort of have this, you know, toolbox of, you know, bag of tricks in my back pocket that I can really work from when these things happen, as well as, you know, I know next time around I'll be talking to my, you know, OB from day one, kind of saying, hey, this is what I went through last time, and what can we do this time around? You know, I've talked to women who I know have started low doses of medications, you know, the day after giving birth, to, you know, be prepared and, you know, keep things in line before you get too far gone. Mm-hmm. So right now for me, it's mostly just kind of being ready to have those conversations with my doctor and figure out the best plan for me, when the time comes, to make sure that, you know, we're ready, and, you know, I'm not going to let it take as long this time. You know, last time I went months and months and months, and I know that, I mean, there are women that go years without getting help, or some that don't get help at all. So, just trying to be prepared this time with a plan.
Do you think you're going to breastfeed again?
You know, that's a really good question.
You don't have to know the answer yet.
No. And I'd like to try, because that was definitely a sore spot for me with my son. Because we did struggle with breastfeeding. In retrospect, when I think back, I'm pretty sure he had a lip tie. You know, when he was first born, you know, he wasn't great at sucking. So we had a lot of challenges right out of the gate. And the breastfeeding really caused me a lot of anxiety, partially because of the challenges and partially because of the reliance on me mm-hmm. that breastfeeding entailed. And really, you know, not being able to have any sort of break if you need it for, you know, anxiety reasons. So I think going into another child, I would definitely want to try breastfeeding, but I think with my son, I felt very much all or nothing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's the way it has to be either. You know, I could still breastfeed and also supplement, so that I don't have to be the only one, to kind of help take that pressure of, you know, you being the only person that can feed your child. Long answer, I guess, is yes, I would like to try. But I also know that I need to be gentler on myself if it's not something that's in the cards for us, whether it's because of issues or my anxiety or, you know, whatever the reason may be. Because, you know, there's obviously they talk a lot about breastfeeding now, and breast is best, and this, you know, wonderful bond with your child. And with my son, I already was struggling to bond with him. So when I made the decision to give up breastfeeding, it was even more difficult because I thought, well, now, you know, I've lost my chance to bond. I was already struggling to bond, and, you know, now it's just going to be harder because I'm not breastfeeding. And that's, you know, I could kind of convince myself of that. But when I stopped, honestly, a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. I mean, I felt a lot better just by making that decision. And I mean, I'll be honest, I still have guilt about making that decision, but I know it was what we needed. It was absolutely what was right for us in the moment. And it really did help my anxiety at the time. I mean, it took away a big source of anxieties for me and allowed, you know, me and my husband to share a little bit more of the feeding responsibility and allowed him to help more so that I could take care of myself as well.
So are there any, like, tools or tricks that you've learned so far in therapy that you'd be able to share? I'm always looking to add new tools to my toolbox.
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. Because I don't think we've come up with any, at this point, I think it's definitely still a big work in progress for me. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really come up with anything that's been a real concrete, success, I'll say. So, you know, we're still working on it.
And that's fair. Like, I love, like, that you're saying that and that you're being honest, because some people might feel like, you know, some people figure it out so quickly, like, what their thing is, you know, like, just take,
yeah.
Like, I don't know how many more times I'm going to have to hear from someone about taking these deep breaths to fall asleep at night. Like, it just isn't my thing. Like, okay.
I think that was one of the first recommendations from my therapist was deep breaths. And I'm like, see, you think I haven't tried deep breaths? Mm-hmm. yeah, so we're just constantly, you know, trying new things and seeing what works. And like I said, so far we haven't had any real concrete successes, but little things here and there that, you know, we can kind of build on.
How does your anxiety level feel today compared to, like, before you got pregnant?
I mean, just in general, I think I now operate at a higher anxiety level than I did. And I'm sort of prepared for that to just be my reality, mm-hmm. You know, with kids. You know, each stage of their life, they're going to have some new anxiety-inducing thing that they do, right? So I'm sort of prepared for just sort of a little bit of an increase there. But, I mean, overall, I feel good. I feel like I'm managing well. It's not affecting my day-to-day life anymore. But I'm different than I was before I got pregnant and before I had my son. And at this point, I think I always will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gave away, like, a huge chunk of your heart.
Right. And it's now walking around outside of you and you can't control it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't control when it's going to, like, bump and hurt its, you know, skin their knees and fall in love and get heartbroken. They're just going to do all that stuff.
Oh, gosh, yeah. There's still so much ahead. He's only two.
Yeah, you know, there's so much ahead, but I just like to think that since I went through postpartum depression and all that fun stuff, that it's like I've, like, the teenage years, I'm like, you know what, there's going to be whole new issues, but they're going to sleep at night, I'll sleep at night, and we'll deal with it during the daytime.
Exactly. Nighttime is always, always the worst.
Yeah, it will be less of a variable. And
yes.
And then when I think about, oh, they'll have curfews, I'll be like, yeah, this is great. We're all going to sleep in one day.
Yeah.
They'll sleep more than we do.
Yeah, that's assuming they're home by curfew, right?
They will be. They will be. But we'll have little GPS trackers on them. It'll be totally fine.
Oh, yeah, the technology will be, I'm sure, insane by the time our kids are that age.
Yeah, they'll break curfew, but we'll see they're at, like, the local diner, and there'll be, like, a video satellite, and yeah. we'll like, oh, they're fine, they're just having fries, it's okay, I'll go back to bed.
Yeah.
So before we get off the interview, you're leading a climb, right?
Yes.
And Team Hershey?
Team Hershey, Pennsylvania. Me and two other local women who have, you know, also been through postpartum depression have kind of joined together, and the three of us are leading Hershey's climb this year. It's only the second year that Hershey has had a climb, so we're still very small and very new, but it's, you know, we're excited about it, and we think it's going to be really good this year, and we've got some fun things we're trying to plan, so.
Yay, so we'll make sure we put links in the show notes for anyone who wants to join the team or donate to your climb.
That would be great.
And so it's the second year that they're doing the climb. Is this your second or your first?
My second. So I did find it last year. And, you know, starting my blog and being a part of this climb has been very cathartic for me, doing this interview, talking about, you know, what I've been through and sharing my experience. You know, I don't want other women to have to go through what I did. So anything I can do to, you know, raise awareness and help those who are struggling has been very healing for me to know that, you know, what I went through isn't in vain. And, you know, obviously through the climb, you meet a lot of other women who have been through what you've been through. And it's like, you know, this instant bond you have. And so I've found some really good support in that as well. You know, it's more than just a climb. It really is.
Yeah, it's a community, and it's just a way to shine the light.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you don't even get to know all the people you're helping who, you know, you don't know who's looking at your photos on Instagram, because I think so many moms probably search those tags, the hashtags, and then they're too afraid to hit like. They don't want to be associated with it, but they're just able to see and experience and just know.
Right, and the stigma is real. I mean, it really is. I mean, mental health in general, as well as, you know, postpartum perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. I mean, there is sort of the stigma around it. And obviously, it's not, like I said earlier, it's, you know, people ask, you know, how are you doing as a new mom? And they want to hear all the cute stuff. Oh, you know, he smiled, he did that. You know, they don't, no one wants to hear about your anxieties and depression and OCD. I mean, that's not, you know, uplifting, right? So there still is very much kind of a stigma around it all. And just trying to be open and honest about it. I mean, when I first launched my blog, unfortunately, it's not something I've been able to devote as much attention to recently as I've wanted to. But, you know, when I first launched it and shared my story, I had, you know, two or three, you know, mom friends on Facebook, some that I was very close with, some that I, you know, were more acquaintances that reached out and said, hey, I went through this too. And, you know, I'm really glad you're sharing. So, you know, just those few people making a difference has, you know, kind of made it all feel a little bit more worthwhile.
Yeah. And I'm still grappling with the idea of the stigma, because I do think there's a stigma, but I also think that for a lot of people, there isn't a stigma, but there's this like polite manners that assumes you're not, and just like, we're not accustomed to having these real gritty conversations. There's this whole social media image of like the glowing, radiant Madonna type mother. And
right.
I feel like, so there is going to be the stigma with some people. Like some people you're going to like say, you know, like, oh my gosh, I think it was my guest Kelly who like posted something and had people like saying she just needed a good exorcism. So like there's some people who are just idiots, but
yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of people who actually do want to have these conversations, and they just don't know how to do it. And it's like, the more I talk about it, the more authentic, real conversations that I get to have with people. But then there's people who, like, you know, just want to insist, like, oh my gosh, pregnancy, this is the best time of your life. And it's like, okay, I'm not going to change you. That's fine. That's your problem.
Absolutely. And I think, again, a lot of times, you know, people ask, well, they ask how the baby's doing, and then, you know, you get the people who are usually a little bit closer to you that'll ask, you know, how are you doing? And, you know, yeah, I'm okay. And it's just like, you know, you feel like, well, I don't want to rain on their parade. They don't really want to talk about this. And that was actually after I launched my blog. I had a good friend of mine someone I'm not geographically as close to as I used to be, so I don't get to see her all the time, but I had seen her a few months prior, and she texted me, and she said, you know, when I saw you, I thought something was up, but, you know, I didn't really feel like it was my place to say anything, and I think it's just that, you know, because it's not something that's talked about, you know, she was kind of maybe afraid or nervous to really say, like, how are you really doing, Emily? You know, you say you're doing well, but I can see that's not the truth. Like you said, it's not something that people talk about a lot. And, you know, I'm hoping through doing things like this, doing the climb, my blog, that I can help change that just a little bit. And I definitely see things moving in the right direction. I see a lot more moms on social media being very real, a lot mm-hmm. more moms on Instagram being very real. And it's very refreshing to see. And I look at it and think, man, I wish I had seen these posts, you know, when I was with a brand new baby and feeling like this, because it would have made me feel a lot more normal.
Yeah.
So I'm glad more moms are speaking out, and dads. I mean, dads aren't immune as well. So
no, dads 10%. I think it's 10%.
That sounds about right.
And the number goes up if mom has something. Then dad's more likely to have something too.
Yeah.
But men, they just have and don't. Okay, so you have a son. Isn't it just amazing how tender and sweet they are?
Oh my goodness. Oh, little boys are just so sweet. And everyone told me that when I found out I was having a boy. But until you have that sweet little boy running around, it's just, they are so sweet.
Yeah, I love talking about feelings with Julian because I'm like, I am trying to raise a man for a new world. Because I just look at all these men who are like this tough facades, you know, like they're not allowed to cry. I'm like, what happened to you? What did we beat out of you in these past generations? Let's let them right. stay these tender, sweet little boys.
Yeah, because they really are. They are so tender and so sweet, and I think we just have to embrace it and nourish it, and, like you said, not beat it out of them.
Yeah, let them have those feelings. Let them cry. Let them... Okay, that's a whole other podcast. We can start one. Mothers of boys. Mothers of sons.
Yeah.
Our sweet little tender boys. All right, well, on that note, let's see. Listeners can find you at theocdmama.com.
Exactly.
And I'll have links for all of that in the show notes, including your climb. And is there anything I'm missing?
I don't think so. I think we, you know, covered most of it.
We covered it, but the show notes. So if Mama Brain and we miss something, we can always get back to it later.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show today, Emily.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure talking with you, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to share.
Of course. So that's it for this week. Show notes will be available at ppdadventures.com if you want to find the links to Emily's website, theocdmama.com. Although I think we can all remember that and just type it in. But that I'll have the links there, and I'll have links for her climb in Pennsylvania and for the climb out of the darkness in general, which is happening very soon in June 2018. And feel free to email me, Courtney, at ppdadventures.com if you have thoughts or questions, or if you would like to share your story on a future episode. And I have decided I'm going to start accepting guest blog post submissions for anyone who wants to share their personal stories about postpartum depression. I'm not looking for, you know, a story about your pharmaceutical company or, you know, something that has nothing to do with a personal story about postpartum depression. I have been approached by, like, random people, you know, who, like, are from Russia, and they're, like, just searching all websites and spamming everyone trying to, you know, no. I'm not into that. But I am into you and your personal story. I love stories. Every time I got to speak to Emily, you know, I'm recording this early before I go to New York, but I got to speak to Emily last week right before I got a stomach bug. And, like, my stomach was literally starting to churn during our interview, but I forgot about it, and we got to talk, and it felt so good. And then the stomach bug hit, and I was like, I am so glad this waited until after the interview, because I hate when I have to reschedule interviews. I love interviews, and I love that Julian's going to preschool next fall, and I will suddenly, instead of being, like, these two babysitter days where I'm jamming in interviews, I'll have 3 days. And I don't know why, but 3 just sounds so much more luxurious than 2. So, really excited to be doing this show. I'm so excited and grateful for Emily for coming on the show. I had a lovely time talking to her. And I hope you enjoyed listening to her as much as I enjoy talking to her. Postpartum depression and all maternal mood disorders can be incredibly lonely and isolating, but you are not alone. There are thousands of moms just like me and Emily who are walking through the darkness with you, or who have walked through it and made it through to the light. with proper help and support, you can and will make a full recovery. I love you, and I hope you have